Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for all the ways that you bless us. We thank you for all that we have seen of Christ and the songs we have sung at the Lord's table, as we saw the way that the sacrifices pointed to Christ. It's just amazing as we spend time in Leviticus, and we see the way that all of those things, they were all established to point us to our sin, our great sin, and our great need of the ultimate Lamb who would come. And Father, we're thankful that He has come, that He has done it, that the debt has been paid, the trespasses, the guilt has been done away with for those who are in Christ. And Father, as we spend time today, as we continue in seeing the Paul travel and the gospel going forth to other regions, Father, we just pray that you would help us remember that as we spend time in the text and the details, that we would remember that it's just a glorious thing that we see the account of the beginnings of the church as the church spread, that we are now a part of, that gospel that continued to go out to other nations. And we thank you for that. Father, help us to understand, help us to gain some insight into the text this morning, and we just pray that you would draw us closer to you as we spend time in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we will be continuing in chapter 16 this morning, and as we begin, let us kind of remember where we're at. I know we've spent several weeks in chapter 15 and 16, but we've seen Paul and Barnabas begin, they went their separate ways, which we've talked about it a few weeks now. We saw this pair that originally started out Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul, and then we've transitioned to Paul and Barnabas. And they had just a fruitful first, I like the way James put it last week, really a first leg of the missionary journey, because it's like Paul, they were called to do this, and it's one thing they were doing, but they made a few different trips. But we saw that first leg finished with Paul and Barnabas returning to Antioch, the first missionary journey. And remember, we saw that they originally went to Cyprus, and John Mark had left them, and they had a disagreement when Paul said, "Let us go back to all the places that we've been and check on the brethren, see how they're doing." And so Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, and Paul didn't think it was wise to take him, so they separated. And we saw Barnabas take John Mark and go to Cyprus. But then we see Paul departed. Barnabas and John Mark went off to Cyprus, and then Paul, in verse 40 and 41, but Paul chose Silas and departed. This is in chapter 15, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Went through Syria and Cilicia. And remember, they're in Antioch of Syria. So they went through Syria to Cilicia. And I'll just show us on the map again, just to help us kind of remember. It's helpful for me. I learned a lot from these maps this week. I got some more on here we'll kind of talk about a little bit. But we see the green in the map. The orange color is Barnabas and John Mark going back to Cyprus, and the green is Paul and going back up through Syria, up and then over to Cilicia. But it said as they went through those areas, they went up through Syria and Cilicia. As they went through the areas, what did they do? They strengthen the churches. And it's just amazing to me when you think about for some reason it amazes me to think about, because they didn't go up through that area exactly before, but they basically go back up to Cilicia, which is Tarsus is there. I think they end up in Tarsus, but in that region anyway, back to the area Paul was originally at when Barnabas went to get him, and they go back up there. It wasn't really part of their original trip, so they went a different direction, but as they went, they strengthened the churches. So in this area, all up through this region, there were some churches. You know, we spoke about that previously. But Tarsus was the area that Paul went to when he was waiting before Barnabas went to get him. When they tried to kill him in Jerusalem, remember, and the disciples sent him off back to Tarsus, and he just sort of was there. And we don't have any scripture telling what he did when he was there, but this was a gospel preaching Saul, Paul. And so Paul was there in Tarsus. And then we also know that the church was strong in Antioch. So my impression is the church in Antioch didn't just sit there in the church in Antioch. There were others that had gone out and preached the gospel in these areas. So they were sent off from Antioch. And so whoever began those churches, but I think the church in Antioch knew the churches were there and they sent them off. And so as they went, they strengthened those churches in those areas. It's neat to see that as we see this whole account, there were other people spreading the gospel. You know, there were healthy churches practicing, just as we are this morning. They were coming together and proclaiming the truth that Christ had come. And so Paul went up that direction and ended up, I believe, in Tarsus. It doesn't really tell us exactly they went to Tarsus, but he went up to Cilicia, and they continued to strengthen the church. And then it says Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. That's in chapter 16. To Derbe and Lystra. And this is the region they had gone before. You remember in Derbe and Lystra. And I think I've got a map. See, they're in Cilicia, and then he goes on up. He goes on up and ends up in Derbe and Lystra. So he continued up into that region, going back to the brothers, the churches where they had been previously, where he had been stoned to death, basically driven out of these areas. He preached the gospel. He was driven out, left behind some believers there, and then as he and Barnabas went back, they went back through those areas again, seeing how the brothers were strengthening them, and then they go back, and now he's back again, back into the area they were previously. And so he ends up in Derbe and Lystra. And either in Derbe or Lystra, we come to our text, continuing our text this morning. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So they come back to the area of Derbe and Lystra, and Paul runs into a disciple there. Just an amazing, it's the first time Timothy's mentioned. And you know that, we've spoken a lot about Timothy in the past. I think didn't we preach through 1st and 2nd Timothy here? And you see that Timothy is an important person in the early life of the church. Ends up in Ephesus, and Paul writes the letters to him. But we see here that Paul is made aware of Timothy. So it's Paul and Silas, and they go up there, and then he's made aware of this Timothy, who was spoken well of by all the brothers there in those two areas. So we see that he was well thought of by the people in the areas. And I guess the brothers brought him up to, maybe mentioned him to Paul, or he met him. We don't really know, but he was made aware of him. But notice in verse 3, He was well spoken of by the brothers in verse 2, the brothers, the believers in these areas. But at the end of verse 3, we see, I'll just read the whole verse. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. For they, the Jews in those places, all knew that his father was a Greek. So apparently he was well thought of, and he was spoken well of by the brothers, but apparently he was well known somehow in the area, even among the Jews. They knew of Timothy. They knew of this Timothy. Because his mother was a Jew, but his father was a Greek. And so apparently this was known by the people, at least the Jews in that area. But he was a well-respected young man. And I'm thinking, in my mind, his mother was known in the area by the Jews in the area. And his grandmother, we know, we'll read those texts in a little bit. But we see this Timothy that was apparently a respectful young man, and it appears that he grew up in a godly home, and we see more about his home in his upbringing in the letters to Timothy. We see it in, just to read 2 Timothy 1:3-7. This is Paul writing to Timothy to encourage him, and apparently he's having some struggles going on, you know, some struggles within the church that he is in. But Paul writes to Timothy, "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control." You see that in verse 5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Your sincere faith. And he's not just reminded of his sincere faith. He goes on and says, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother and your mother. Speaking of his grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice. And now I'm sure it dwells in you as well. Speaking of that faith that Paul was reminded of, and he's reminded Timothy of it here also. You know, he's just reminding Timothy of that faith, that original faith that was so strong in his mother and grandmother. So Paul, I think you can see from this text, and I think we can reason from our text today that Paul knew his mother and grandmother, or at least they were well known in the area. And I think they were known for their faith. And Timothy was well thought of by all of the believers there. So his mother and his grandmother were Jews, but they were also believers in Christ. And their faith was strong, and they raised Timothy in that faith. Because, you know, it says in our text this morning that his mother was a Jew, a believer who was a Jew. And we also see in Timothy chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, "But as for you," talking to Paul writing to Timothy, "but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." So this Timothy that Paul happens upon, whose mother was a believer, who was a Jew, but his father was a Greek, had been raised around the sacred writings. He had been raised around and brought up in the sacred writings. Those writings, the scripture, like we were talking about Leviticus. You know, if they were reading Leviticus and they had faith, they really saw this in the prophecies. They read, if they read Isaiah 53 and then they read Leviticus, Isaiah 53, reading these texts, I think they would see that this one that was promised was the one who would fulfill all that they saw in Leviticus. Now, they had the sacred writings, but it seems that Timothy grew up raised by a Jewish mother, but his father was Greek, but he was not circumcised. So apparently they were believers and had the text. But I'm not, you know, with her marrying a Greek, I don't know that they were in the synagogues. I'm not sure how all that worked out. You see, there would be some issues there, though. If she had a son, she's raising him, teaching him the scriptures. Well, he was apparently not part of the synagogue, or he would have been circumcised by now. Unless he could have grown up almost all of the time he grew up in the church also, but this, you know, we don't know how much time exactly has passed here. There's a little bit of time. I mean, I don't know that there's that much time, but anyway, we see Paul come upon this Timothy, who here he's reminding him to remember from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He's reminding him to remember, to continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. And remember the scriptures that you grew up in. And then he talks about all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. So I think Timothy grew up around some devout people, some strong, believing women that kind of brought this son up in the faith. And you wonder about his father, but I read a lot of people believe, a lot of the commentaries talk about his father who was a Greek, and there's not really any mention of him any further that possibly he had died. You know, and this, his mother was with his grandmother there, and possibly the father was out of the picture now. And, you know, that's possible. We're not really told that in the scripture. But you see how Paul constantly called him, you know, my son in the faith, and was sort of a father figure to Timothy. So there's a possibility his father was not around there. The scripture says that he was a Greek. His father was a Greek. But anyway, we see that Paul happens upon this Timothy. And we see, let's just read it again in 16:1-3. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So Paul came upon this Timothy, and he wanted to bring Timothy with him, wanted Timothy to accompany them on the trip. So we got Paul and Silas together. They're there. Silas is from Jerusalem. He was a prophet, a Jew, but apparently had some Greek. Maybe he was born in a Greek area, but it mentioned his Greek. It was a Greek name. But he was a prophet, one of the leaders from Jerusalem. And Paul and Silas, this troop that comes into this area. And then Paul looks on this Timothy, this guy that's well spoken, but he's half Jew, half Greek, uncircumcised young man. And he wants to bring him along. And it seems like Paul, you know, you think of Barnabas and Paul wanted to take John Mark. It seems like Paul sees the need of bringing along some young guys to, you know, to train up and, you know, to participate in them in these journeys. And it, to me, it always sort of amazes me and makes me think of the, when we see the desire in Paul to have these companions to travel with him, it makes me think of the way that we have multiple elders in the church, you know, kind of the necessity of that, having multiple guys working together in ministry. There's always this constant understanding of the need to develop young men into people that will take on the mission that they had, that will continue the mission. Constantly discipling young men to raise up into the future leaders of the church. Constantly discipling young guys that would be used by God as a footprint of the gospel expands. You know, you just imagine if it was, just imagine if it was just Paul and Barnabas constantly there. I mean, they had some reach there, but the way we see the gospel exponentially expand is by men finding other men and teaching them to train other men also to, about spreading the gospel. You know, the things that are in the scripture. But as we see it continue to grow, the gospel of the kingdom continues to grow, we see an expanding of the workers here. But also there is something, James kind of mentioned it kind of in a way that on first reading you might go, Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him and he took him and circumcised him. You know, as we just spent the whole last, you know, the whole chapter 15 and this whole deal with circumcision, what do we tell the Gentiles? Do they need to be circumcised? And you know, it was a question I think that just sort of came up even by the believing Jews. You know, we talked about that. You know, they're believing Jews. They believe the law. Now they see that Christ has fulfilled the law, but they came to Christ, being Orthodox Jews, being converted Jews, circumcised, of the circumcision, keepers of the law. Even though they saw the law pointed to Christ, they still thought, well, that's the way you come into Christ. You know, we came into Christ through being a Jew. So, you know, you could see them naturally going, well, that's the way we believe, so that must be the process. You know, you come in to be a Jew and then you have access to Christ. I can sort of see them thinking that until they were taught differently. Can you? I mean, just sort of, I mean, you know, the word was always that, you know, they were the chosen people of Israel. And so how do you get to the Messiah unless you come through the chosen people of Israel? And so we can understand them seeing that, you know, thinking that a little bit, but they were corrected shortly in the last chapter. And the whole letter that they're going to deliver was all about what should the Gentiles do. Must they be circumcised to be saved? We saw that. And now we see Paul wants to take Timothy to accompany him, so he took him and circumcised. And, it doesn't say so, wanted him to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him. And it's just, just on first reading you could get confused about this. Why did he circumcise him so closely to this? These men had come down and taught the people of Antioch that they must be circumcised, and then they went and had the council and wrote the letter and all of these things. But we gotta see that, you know, you notice right there it says, he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. So he circumcised them thinking of the unbelieving Jews that were in the places. He's not speaking of the church, the Jews that are in the church. He's speaking of the Jews and the places they were going to go. These are Jews that had not heard or they just had not believed yet with the intention of going to these Jews. And Paul could not go into these areas and go in the synagogue with an uncircumcised man who these Jews knew his father was Greek. You know, they would have no entry into the synagogues. So the reason he circumcised them has nothing to do with salvation. You know, we've already determined that you do not have to be circumcised. If he's a Gentile, Timothy did not have to be circumcised here. There was no reason for him to be circumcised except for the Jews they were going to go minister to. So there was no requirement of him being circumcised, but it really falls not into the category of salvation. There's nothing to do with salvation, but of seeking to not offend as they go in. They want to take the gospel into places, and they don't want to go in and immediately offend. And this gave them the in to get into those places. So to win some of them, we read that text, to win some of them, and this is Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 20, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law." You know, there's the idea that, and that's the category that this falls into. At this particular time in the ministry, as they're going into these new areas where there are synagogues and Jews, Paul's going to go in to those areas with, it's going to be Paul, this Pharisee of Pharisees, who trained at the foot of Gamaliel. Is it Gamaliel? I don't know how to pronounce it, but he trained at the foot of a prominent Pharisee. And then you're going to have Silas, a Jew from Jerusalem, who's representing the church in Jerusalem, bringing the letter. And then we're going to have this half Jew, half Greek, this circumcised. He's a Jew, circumcised, but he's also a Greek. He's from those areas, well known in the area. So it's awesome the way God puts this group together to me. You know, it's neat the way you see the sovereignty of God work in these situations to prepare a group to go in and minister to these particular places. Now let me just say, Paul had Timothy circumcised here. Now if Paul was going to the church, it would be different. If Paul was going to the church with Timothy, I think it would be different. If he was going to Jerusalem with Timothy, it would be different. And we read that in Galatians. But Paul, if the circumstances were different, we read in Galatians 2, 1 through 5. "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or I had not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in who slipped in to spy out our freedom, that we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might bring us into slavery. To them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you." Now see, if the situation was different like this, there's no way he would not have circumcised Titus. If he was going to the church to argue against the circumcision, he would not have done it, but that issue had been settled already. You see what I mean? So now he's thinking of going to these Jews to reach these Jews and have an end to these Jews. And circumcision or non-circumcision, it wasn't really a big deal, I don't think, to him. He just did it so that they could go into these areas. And you know Timothy had to volunteer for this. You know, Timothy was willing. Timothy was willing. He saw the need to do it because of the Jews that were in those areas. So now we have Paul, Silas, and Timothy together, ready to go. And I want to remind you of just something I just thought of as I was reading that text earlier. You know how Paul talked about the prophecy given by the laying on of my hands earlier? Think about it a little bit. I believe this is where that happened. You know, as Timothy was called out and they began to leave. In Lystra. But But Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those places, for they knew that his father was a Greek. And then we continue. So we got Paul, Silas, Timothy, now circumcised, ready to go. And they went on their way through the cities. Or as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So they continued on their journey, going to the churches, delivering what had been reached, the news that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So you see that there's no need for Timothy to be circumcised. They're going just immediately going and telling all the Gentiles, you don't have to be circumcised, basically. They're saying, you know, they gave this list of things that were basically things they should avoid, they should not do because they were sinful. And then there were some things that would be offensive to the Jews. And, you know, also that if they avoided these things, it will go well with you. But they brought that letter and delivered, and you see the churches strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily. So they continued preaching the gospel as they went into these areas. So now we have the group has grown a little, and we're going to see it grow a little bit more. Some things that I was just kind of blown away with so I'm just going to go through this. This is not so much preaching, maybe just a little bit of a teaching. I want to look at this text, the next text, and kind of think about where they went. There's some things I have thought wrongly about, not recently, but I have in the past, that I think it would be good for us to consider. So they left that area, the area they were at, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. So they left Derbe and Lystra, and they continued. They went on, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to enter Asia. That's always been just sort of an amazing text to me. Having been forbidden. Why did the Holy Spirit forbid them to speak the word in Asia? And then they attempted to go into another area, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went to Troas. It's amazing when we think about that, but in my mind, now you guys might think I'm silly. In my mind early on, I've always thought of Asia as being like what we think of Asia. You know, Asia. They didn't go into Asia. So I'm thinking, well, they didn't go to the Chinese or the, you know, up kind of the northeast from where they were at. That's just sort of what I've thought. You know, that maybe they were thinking about going that way, so they got directed to go the other way, and they went over to Greece. That's what I've just sort of thought that. We've got to be a little careful about that, because, you know, in the context of when this was written and in the areas that it was written for, this helped me kind of see that today, or when I was reading that. I was just trying to think again, remind myself of where Asia was. But we see they left Lystra down on the bottom, well, down here on the bottom right. And we saw in our text, they went up through Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go into Asia. So in my mind, they were thinking of going to Asia, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go into Asia, so that instead they went up through that area. But if you'll notice on the map, if you look on your left there, Asia, that's Asia Minor. That's where we can kind of get mixed up. You know, the Asia was right here. Asia was an area of the Roman Empire. There was Asia, there was Mysia up there at the top. There was Phrygia and Galatia. You see, these were all regions of the Roman Empire. So that kind of helped me get that in perspective. Notice what's in Asia. Ephesians. See that? Ephesus. Sardis. Smyrna. Those are all in Asia. You know, so they go to Asia later. Paul gets there later. But anyway, that sort of helped me. You see that? I mean, you see how you could kind of be messed up if you're thinking of Asia, which is up there, you know, but this is Asia Minor right here, Asia Minor. And then Mysia is another area. These are all just separate regions of the Roman Empire. So we see that they ended up not being allowed to go to Asia, but going up through Phrygia and Galatia. And we see that, and they went up through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. And that's up Mysia. Bithynia is right up there at the very top. That little area right up at the top. It was another region, but they were unable to go into that region. They attempted to go up into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and they end up down in Troas. So you see here that they just, as James was speaking, it's like, you know, you think Paul the Apostle. Paul, who had walked with Jesus and he was taught the gospel by Jesus. And we kind of sometimes imagine, or I imagine, that he knew exactly where he was going. But Paul was called to be a missionary, and it seemed good to him to go back and visit these churches. So they went. They went the direction that seemed right to go. And they went, they ended up back in the churches and came, and then Timothy was there, and Paul thought it would be good to take Timothy. So he circumcised them and they went. And as they went, it appears they decided to go certain places, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going that place. So they didn't go there. They went another place. And then they attempted to go into another area up north, and the Holy Spirit did not allow them to go there. So it's like God's directing them by them just heading out and not being allowed to go into particular areas. And I think it's good for us to think that way as believers. You know, us personally, we think that way. Because and we talked about this some Wednesday, oftentimes as believers, I think we've seen people that kind of have taken this theology that I think is wrong, this thought process of how do we decide what God wants us to do. And basically what they often do is they just sit and they wait and they don't do anything with their faith. They just sit and they wait. Well, God's not told me what to do. And they're wanting God to speak. They're wanting God to draw them out like this for them before they take off. You know, so they want to be sitting here and listening and go, okay, God, I'm going to just sit here and wait until you draw the map. Or they would sit in Antioch of Syria, like Paul would have just sit there for, you know, and just sit there for years and just kind of thought. But Paul thought it would be good to go. So he went and he takes off and he heads where he thinks he should go. And God said, no, you're not going there. And so he just keeps going and he thinks, well, I should go up there. And he gets up there and God's like, no, you're not going there. And so he just keeps going and he ends up in Troas. And I think that's the way we should approach our life. We look at the scriptures, we look at the scripture and see how we should live. And we look at the scripture and we understand the gospel and what God has done. And then we see that we should share the gospel with others, and then we just go do it. We just go do something. And if we step a wrong direction, God will let us know that. And that, I think that's the way he guides us. We go and we do something, and then we go, oh, that's, you know, that God makes it clear that's not what we should do, and we do the next thing. And so that's what they did. And we see them travel all the way up to Troas. Directed by God, they ended up just where God wanted them to be. And I'm going to have to hurry. I thought I was going to be short, and now I'm running out of time. So they went, they were directed right, and they ended up in Troas, right where they needed to do, to be. And I think that's what, that's the way we should think as believers. We should do, just go and do something. You know, if you're wondering what you should do with your life, we don't need to wait on the secret will of God. You know, God knows the future, what it holds for us, but He doesn't tell us, He doesn't reveal the secret will. You know, He doesn't reveal the secret things. There's certain things that are His to know. But as we proceed, as we move and make decisions and do things in our lives and do things that we think are going to be glorifying to Him, is it something that's going to glorify God? Is it something that agrees with His Scripture? Is your desire to bring glory to God in what you're doing? If you see something you can do that you think will bring glory to God, just do it. Just jump out there and do it. Head out and let God direct you. I mean, He'll let you know if it's the wrong direction to go. So that's what Paul did. He headed out. I think he headed towards Asia, and he moved, and we saw that. So he ends up in Troas, up there in Mysia. And when he's in Troas, we read in 16:9-10, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they're there in Troas, and he has a dream. And this is something that really caught my eye as I was reading this. I got to thinking about Luke. You know, where's Luke in this? And notice as we read through this, beginning in chapter 4, you know, Luke's the author of Acts. If you'll notice, look in verse 4 of chapter 16, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them, and then notice also, verse 6, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and went, in verse 7, and when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And notice in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia to help us. Verse 10, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. So I believe that, you know, it doesn't really mention it, but it seems to me that Luke joined them in Troas, possibly. You notice it changes from they to we. You know, you see that? It was they did this, and they ended up in Troas, and from then on out it's we went. We went. So, thought that was interesting, so. Because you know, Luke is, he doesn't really mention himself much in here. You know, it's more like, but he talks about the things that had happened. He's given his witness to these things. So anyway, y'all just put some thought into that as you go on. But I believe that Luke was in Troas and joined them there. It doesn't really mention him, but that's just because it goes from they to we. But it says they went on, they left Troas, and they sailed one day and went to Samothrace, and then they, and then it says they went on into Neapolis and then up to Philippi. So we see that's where they ended up, up in Philippi. And in Philippi, they're in Macedonia. This is Macedonia up here. So when they get to Philippi, they go there and they stay for a while. And then in Philippi, in verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman of name Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So here they end up all the way across the sea in Philippi in Macedonia, and they stayed there for a little bit, and then they went out to rivers, supposing there might be a place to pray out there, looking for a place of prayer. And then they spoke to the women that had come together at the river, and they preached the gospel to a woman who the Lord had opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul had said. So they're just miraculously as this woman there at the river, ready to hear the gospel, her heart open to pay attention to what was said by God. It says she was a worshiper of God, so she was a follower of God, a worshiper of God. It doesn't say that she was a Jew, but she was from Thyatira. And the Lord opened her heart, and she believed and was baptized there with her household. So we see the gospel at work here in the place that God had intended the Apostle Paul to go. He attempted to go other places, but the gospel was preached all the way across the ocean here, all the way across the sea in Philippi. And it's weird to think that they wanted to go into Asia, but God forbid them to speak the gospel in Asia. And they ended up having to go around, and they end up in Philippi. But I was amazed when I got to thinking, where is Thyatira? Where is Thyatira? This lady is from Thyatira, this Lydia, the first person that they show that we're given witness to of being converted in Philippi, in Macedonia, after he was not allowed, he was forbidden to speak the word in Asia. And it's amazing when you look to see where Thyatira was. I don't know if you remember the map, but that's Thyatira. I couldn't find it on my Bible map, but this is a current map. But if you look, Thyatira is right there. Just kind of remember the picture there. If you go back to our Bible map, look where it is. It's right smack dab in the middle of Asia. It's just kind of amazing to me to think of that. This lady had traveled from Asia, but Thyatira is right. Let me go back. See where it is? And then it's just right up above Sardis in the middle of Asia. So, I'm not saying that's what the scripture is telling us exactly to see, but it is amazing that they were not allowed to go through Asia, and the first woman converted in Philippi is from Asia, from right in the middle of Asia Minor. But isn't it cool? Isn't it neat the way God's Word comes together? And you see that God intended for them to not go into Asia, but to go to Philippi. And we'll see as God continues to use them in Philippi. And they end up back in Asia later. But God has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a time for everything to happen. It was not time for Paul to go to Ephesus yet or to go into this area. It was time for him to go up to Philippi. And God intended for everything to happen in the particular order that it did. But it's awesome to see as he continues to work. But we see that God, that Paul, they headed out and they intended to glorify God. They intended to go and share the gospel with people wherever they went. They go into a strange region, they go into Philippi, and they stay there for some time, and they just go down to the river to see if there's a place that people might be praying, and they find Lydia there. So just, I think it's a good thing for us to consider. Are we setting as believers? Now, I'm not saying we're to go somewhere to another country. I'm not saying that. But are we just sitting still? I mean, we come together to worship week after week, and that's a significant thing. I mean, it's a glorifying thing. That's, we desire to glorify God, and that's why we're here this morning, to worship God, to consider the cross, consider Christ as we participate in the Lord's Supper together, to consider Him. But we also always ought to think about ourselves and think about our station in life. And it's not that we're to all go to Philippi, to Macedonia, or any of those things. But the idea is, are we moving forward? Are we trying to glorify God as we live out our life? Or are we sitting still waiting on Him just to reveal His secret will? But my belief is that we move forward when we just do something. We just do something. If we're thinking, I need to share the gospel, I haven't shared the gospel with anybody, we need to learn the gospel and be prepared to share it and to just do something. Just go share it. Share it with someone. And not be so concerned about having a clear picture of, you know, like, there's a person over there. God has given me a vision that when I share the gospel, they're going to believe. We just go share it. We just go do it. And I hope that you all will consider these things as we continue to move forward. But it's awesome to see that at the end here in Philippi, we see she urged us saying, "If you had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So we leave this section as we end today. We leave with Paul and Barnabas and Timothy and possibly Luke going to stay with this new believer in Christ, this person that worshiped God but now had her heart open to the truth of the gospel and was in Christ. So they established some brothers and or a sister and her family, and they're staying in her house with them. So may God bless His word.